Happy Saturday and welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. Your chance to ask the one and only Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your questions about your home renovation, your home improvements. You started a project, you didn't know how to finish it, or maybe you did it all wrong. The best of intentions, you know, it's not always what it takes. Walter Assey is here to answer your questions. 514-790-0800. That's the landline. You can also text us. You have plenty of ways to get to us throughout the hour. Walter, how was your week?
My week was nice, busy. I don't know where the week went.
Goes.
It's like when you have those like
kids,
short
they're called
weeks,
kids. I'm
and
kidding.
The kids. Oh my God! Yeah, the back to school is unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really a short week. I was like disoriented the whole week. Like my Mondays was Tuesdays, but Tuesday was Wednesday. Crazy. So, you know, in
what
my head today with
coffee?
Friday.
Okay. Well, thank God you remembered to go to the office.
Actually, it was Julia that told me that, Dad, you have radio today.
You have radio.
Oh, my God.
If Julia's listening, thank you. You're a very smart girl. Dad did have to go to the office today. And he is here to take your calls and your text messages. They're coming in. Should we get to a call? Yes. We have Tasso is on the line. Tasso has a question about his balcony. Tasso, can you hear us?
Yeah. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. My question is for a professional like Walter. I have a balcony, cement balcony. It's about 20 years old, very good condition. And now, you know, over the years, the top part has become dull, a little dark, and some stains. What product would you recommend to apply to clean it?
So there's different products for the different reasons behind the dirt, right? So if it's just a regular cleaning, like I'll just walk you through the different, dirt stains that we might encounter and for what reason. So the regular dirt that we get, pollution and things of that nature, it's really water and liquid soap, and you scrub with a brush, and that should take care of it. If it's a grease or oil, it's a different story. That, like, if you have any remnants of oil stains or anything that was dropped,
no,
like
nothing,
a barbecue
nothing like that.
Or anything like that, that is more a baking soda or cat litter type of a thing before you do the cleaning. If it's rust stains, it's white vinegar and baking soda. But the idea with that would be the dwell time. So you would have to sprinkle it over the heavily stained areas. And the dwell time should be at least 10 to 15 minutes before you rinse it and you clean it. And then, you know, the mold, mildew type of... because it's on the outside. So, you know, we have sometimes those leaves from the trees. They leave some, you know, remnants of the leaf mold on it. So that, because it's outside and only because it's outside, you could use one part bleach, 10 part water. Only because it's outside. And that, you can apply it either with a mop or a spray, whatever you like. Again, there have to be a bit of dwell time. Then you're going to scrub it and either pressure wash it or clean it. So to kind of give you a one product that fits all does not really work, because it really depends what we're cleaning and what are the stains.
Sorry to interrupt you. Particularly, I have these carpets outside, not the plastic ones for the winter that you only put in the winter, but these carpets, and with the rain, they left like black indentations, like the stain from underneath. That was my primary reason I wanted to wash it.
Okay. So for these type of stains, what I would start with is just regular liquid soap and water, and then I will pressure wash. That doesn't work, then you can now go into the baking soda or the bleach, right? So it's going to be like a transition from one to the other. But first, start with the lightest, if you want, solvents, which is liquid soap, water, and bleach, and you know, try to brush it. So what you do is you apply the soap and you use a steel brush and you bristle brush and you kind of brush it really good. Then you clean up with a hose. Then you pressure wash. Even in a lot of cases, what you could also do is in the pressure washer, you could add a degreaser. There's a place where you could put detergents. And there are special degreasers and cleaners that you can add. So it's actually water and soap. That's another way of getting it done.
Does that help you?
Bleach,
sorry, go ahead.
For the bleach, you said one part bleach, 10 parts water?
Correct.
The water, room temperature, or should I warm it up?
Hose water. No, room temperature, room temperature hose water is fine. The idea is more the dwell time, so you just let it sit a bit, and then you rinse it. Most people do it too fast.
One final question: would you recommend I think it's called TSP?
TSP is a good cleaner / degreaser. So for concrete, it works. Trisodium. What it is really trisodium phosphate. It does work. Yes. It's more a degreaser than a cleaner. So we usually would like to use it to remove mold or to clean exterior components before we paint. But you could definitely add that to your list. And the idea, again, behind it is follow the instructions of what the mix should be, because you don't want to over or under concentrate the detergent. And again, there's also a dwell time factor to it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Tasso. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Thank you so much to Tasso. Let's get to a question online, on the text line, But reminder, you can call us 514-790-0800. We'll start with this one that says, Walter, why do some houses have a sub pump well, but no sub pump? The French drain goes into the sewer drain. Do I need to put a sub pump in there?
That's actually a great question. So in the olden days, that might have been a good thing. In today's world and the global warming and everything we're getting, it's not that great. Because what's happening is this is going to the city drains by gravity. And that's great in normal times. But when you have a sewer backup, it becomes a real issue. So the idea behind it is you need to have a backup system and even a protection system from the city. So what we would do in a case like this is not only we'll add a sump pump, and the sump pump would have an exterior discharge that is independent from the city. That's very important. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to have a backup system. Like, we all know what's going on with the city infrastructure. We all know that the city have no money to fix all the infrastructure. That
there's always a surprise on the horizon with the infrastructure.
Yeah, so we have to accept that. And we have to kind of floodproof our homes as much as we can intelligently and not always rely on the city to do the right thing, because that might take years if we ever get there. So there are solutions. That's the good news. In this case, you will put a sump pump in that pit, and that will have a separate discharge that will actually go into a dry pit in your land. So depending, let's say if it's in the back, you have the discharge in the back, you dig the pipe down, you have a dry pit. And that only takes over when the city sewers are backing up and they're not working, then your sump pump. So it's really a backup. It's not working. It's not the primary. It's a secondary.
To avoid the disaster.
To avoid the disaster. Yeah. Not only that, we also would install a backflow valve on the sump pump. I mean, we'll talk maybe about it a bit more in detail after the break.
We're going to keep on this topic, and lots of text messages coming in as well. Again, the phone line is 514-790-0800. Your chance to ask Walter Assey all of your home renovation questions. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. 514-790-0800. Walter Assey is standing by at the ready to answer all of your home improvement questions. 514-790-0800. That's the phone number. You can also hit us up by text. And before the break, Walter, you were answering a question about the importance of the sump pump, and you were saying that it's the backup to even more crumbling now infrastructure.
Yeah. So what you do is we have to install a backflow valve as well in the pit. And the reason being is if the city sewers start backing up, you don't want that to back up in your sump pump.
No, thank you.
Specifically, if you don't have a sump pump in it, that would be like a definite no-no, right? So that's why there is definitely, when we see a sump pump pit with no pump, it's a red flag. There's something that should be definitely done about it, and as quickly as possible.
But what does that mean? There was something there and then they removed, like, why would there
be the pit? No, it's because in the old, like, there is a way of, so what you do is you have the French drains, they go into the pit, and instead of being pumped out through a sump pump, then it gets, it just goes by gravity towards the city.
Okay.
Now, the city drains. Now, in a perfect world where the city infrastructure is great, that's not a problem at all.
Where is this perfect world?
There you go. But, you know, right now we are being double smacked. We have global warming that is changing our weather patterns, mm-hmm. and we have aging infrastructure. Mm. So these two are not going very well together. And it's time for us to be preemptive, not reactive. The good news is a lot of the homeowners are reaching out for this.
Really?
And I'm loving it because, you know, it shows that there is awareness. Mind you, most of them had been flooded, that's why. But still, I mean, you know, like if I compare like the attitude of this year versus last year. So last year we had the August 9.
Everyone was caught by surprise, Walter.
That's right. But this year we got the July 15, I think, also torrential rains. So last year was, okay, this is the storm of the century. This year is like, okay, no, this is the storm of every year.
But it was also, I think, a lot of people realizing that, A, they weren't prepared, that their house wasn't prepared, that they mm-hmm. didn't realize how unprepared was the house, and then they didn't realize how complicated it would be to get relief from insurance companies, from the city, like just putting that into their heads that if this happens again, they're on their own, essentially, for a while everything gets sorted.
100%. You are 100%. That's it. That's exactly it. So, and then the other aspect of it is there's not really a system to follow. So, I mean, the interesting thing is, like, example, I'll take Kirkland, mm-hmm. okay, which is an area which is considered the highest area in the West Island. So August 9 last year, we had certain streets that got flooded.
Yeah.
And the streets that got flooded felt lucky because they said, okay, you know, so our system.
That's not our problem, yeah.
So this year, those streets that did not get flooded last year, they got flooded this year.
Mm.
So there's not really a logic behind who gets flooded and when. Mm-mm. It's just, you know, it's all going to depend on, you know, what's happening with the infrastructure that day, how much rain we get.
And probably, but maybe I don't know, but are the insurance companies now saying, like, if you're a new homeowner in these areas in particular, have the conversations changed, do you think, where they're like, you have to look at this and back it up?
Well, I mean, I see that not only the insurance companies, 100%, they want you to install the backflow valves and the sump pumps and everything else, but also the cities. They send all kind of letters to homeowners mm. that, you know, this is what you need to do to protect your home from flooding. Insurance companies, in a lot of cases, are trying to even disconnect. So in certain policies, they say you have no coverage for sewer backup. You have no coverage for water in your basement. You have, and if you do, it's that much limited coverage. So in a way, and we saw that last year, we mm-hmm. saw that this year, like people this year, for example, we had people that got flooded that have, let's say, $10,000 in coverage. They didn't even make a claim because they said, you know what, I'm going to make a claim. They're going to shoot up my insurance. And no, I'll assume that 10 grand, I'll pay the difference from my pocket.
It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting because you pay all this money and you think in times of crisis.
Yeah, I mean, and there are insurance companies that will give you that coverage. It's a lot more expensive, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily always accept that coverage. So they look at your history of claims and everything else. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the best thing is prevention. You don't want to worry about this every time there's a heavy rainfall. I know some homeowners, when there's a big storm outside, I mean, they're babysitting their pit. They're going to the basement up and down and down and up. And that's not really a way to live. You have to say, okay, this is what can I do to cut down my risk? What can I do to stop this? And there are ways. There are intelligent ways. It's a lot less stressful for you on a day-to-day. You can finally leave on that vacation without having to worry what's happening.
And maybe also give yourself the time to plan for it financially, right? Because some of this stuff costs money. And so you have to say, okay, I know that the rainy season is at this point. Like, it's interesting. We're all adapting to the weather patterns. We've got a text message. Again, 514-790-0800. Phone line, text line. This comes to us, Walter, from Luigi. It says, hello, my electric panel is 47 years old, and 150 amps. The model is discontinued, but works well. Should I still change it? Can any electrician do this or only a master electrician? That is from, again, Luigi.
So there's a couple of things to look at. Number one would be the magic word here, discontinued. So discontinued means if you ever have a problem with in any of your breakers, you have a problem. You're gonna have an issue, because changing a panel is not a question of a pizza delivery. You have to call the hydro. There have to be coordination between the master electrician, and the master electrician have to be also available.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that that goes with that. There's also, why was this discontinued? Now, there are some companies that used to produce electric panels that those panels were defective in most of the cases and caused electric fires. So the companies went bankrupt because, there was a lot of claims against them. So if that's the case, it's 47 years old, stop pushing your luck type of thing. Not only that, I mean, the breakers are going to be an issue. 150 amps, if you buy an electric car, you're going to have problem, because minimum is 40 amps that you're going to get. So right off the bat, 40 amps of that, which is like 33% of your capacity, is just going to an electric charge plug. So you have to upgrade to today's standard.
I and 47 years old is at that point for that.
There's a whole bunch of things. If it ain't broken, don't fix it, works only in certain cases, not every case, right?
But what you just said about some of those companies that did have fires and, they were defective, that rang some bells with me, right? Because how would he know? He has to check that. You know what I mean?
It's actually readily available. If he puts the brand, I'm not going to re-advertise the brand to everybody, but if he puts a brand and it does a search, it will, you'll have a whole bunch of information about it and why it went bankrupt and everything else.
Okay, 514-790-0800. Give us a call. Lots of you are texting us. I love the text messages, but it's sometimes, I say this every week, when it goes to past, a paragraph, it's time to call in. It's time to call in and have a chat with us instead. 514-790-0800. You can call Walter Assey and ask him your questions. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. This is the Home Improvement Show, your chance to ask Walter Assey your questions about your home improvement projects, 514-790-0800. Give Walter a call, ask him your questions. If you're listening from another market and you're listening to it in a different time, don't worry. Walter has the Ask Walter button on the Renovco website. We've got some text messages coming in. No name here, but somebody says, can you please summarize again what to do to protect against the basement flooding? I missed the beginning of the conversation. It's hard to put it in a nutshell, but there are a couple things. You always have a couple of, you have like a list.
Yeah. I mean, the basic, if you want to go-to thing, would be a backflow valve, a backwater valve. That would be the first thing. And it's not, a master plumber should be able to advise you of how many do you need, because it's not just a backflow valve on the drain and that's the end of the story. If you have a bathroom, you would need one to protect the bathroom. If you have a laundry sink, if you have a washer dryer washer, you have to protect the washer as well. So a master plumber will come, they will do an audit and tell you, okay, this is what you would need. You'll start with the back water valve. Even in the sump pump, if you don't have a sump pump, do you need a sump pump? That's another thing that's very important. If you do have a sump pump, does it have a pump in it? If not, you have to think about getting a sump pump installed with an external discharge to the outside. So this is like, in a nutshell, if you wish, the...
like a checkup.
You know, the big points. There are other things, obviously, we recommend strongly every, you know, about 15 to 20 years to do a camera inspection for your drain pipes to see what's going on with that. Especially if you have an older home and that had cast iron drainage. You know, you have to understand, cast iron rusts, it corrodes, it blocks, it cracks. Ugh. So you don't want to be in the receiving end of
anything,
you know, of anything that is leaking underneath your slab and seeping through. So that's, you know, it's again preemptive. So these are things that, especially if it's a cracked pipes, it's a big job, bigger job, needs planning. You don't want to be in that big job phase and you know, planning it as it's happening, because, you know,
so I do have a question about this, because you mentioned that a master plumber or could come in and check this out. Can you just call and say, like, I need a checkup? And is it not going to cost you, I mean, like a fortune? Like, how do we do this?
Well, look, it's actually a great question. This is the intelligent way of doing things. Is you don't wait for things to happen. It's like when you have your car, you don't wait for the red or the red
for
lights,
the wheels to fall off,
for the Christmas lights to go on your dashboard. And then you go to the garage. You kind of do your twice a year checkup, three times a year checkup, whatever. Change your oil, do this. So same thing with plumbing. It's a master plumber within. In this 1 hour service, we'll give you. Okay, you have the option of also asking for the camera. So either they charge you a service charge if you don't want anything intrusive like a camera. A camera is about $499 approximately.
But what do you ask for? You say, listen, nothing is wrong now. Can you just come and?
Well, yeah, I mean, they will come, and I mean, you can ask for whatever you want, right? It depends how exhaustive you want your inspection to be. So you could look at the water pressure, you could look at the water line, you could look at the drains, you could look at anything that is flood prevention. So if the plumber is coming, you can ask him, you know, to do a full inspection. You can ask him to do certain things that are targeted, like flood prevention or drain inspections or what have you. So, you know, you hold really the flag. It depends also what kind of issues you're starting to have with the plumbing. So you have slow drainage. These are telltale signs about something happening. Either it just could be simple blocked pipe, or it could be, okay, we have a cracked, corroded pipes that needs attention.
Yeah.
If you have low pressure, that could also be the telltale signs about something that's happening as well. So there's also what's happening in your home and what you see around you that you can actually have inspected. But I mean, it's important that it gets done
before.
Yeah, before.
Yeah. And we should say that, Renovco, this was a big announcement. You guys have the plumbing services now.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, that was part of what we did. We have a department for fire and flood restoration. It's a big department. And, you know, there is a big need. A lot of these places we go to that had flooding, it could have been very easily prevented. You know, so there was, you know, something to be said. And there was this misconception with homeowners. Well, you know, nothing seemed wrong. Okay, but, you know, how would you know if you don't have it inspected, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think the reticence probably is like, well, if that, you know, like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But you don't actually know if it's broke because you can't see through the walls.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Okay, we've got Sergio who wrote in earlier. Again, give us a call, 514-790-0800. Sergio writes in, hi, Walter. We want to completely demolish our bathroom, which is 5 by 9 feet. We will also not be installing a bathtub, only a walk-in shower. Any recommendations and anything you would add or install to make it the perfect reno? Anything to watch out for? Should we put in heated floors, towel warmers? I told you how I feel about towel warmers. Mm. The best thing ever. Plumbing, things to avoid. Thank you so much, Sergio. So it's a big one, but like maybe do you have a checklist for when you're doing bathroom renos?
There's a lot to look at for sure. Number one, that is something that I see a lot of homeowners miss, or even, you know, contractors sometimes, is the age of the bathroom that you're demolishing. So if it's anything before 1980, you want to check for asbestos.
Oh.
Okay.
I did not even think of that. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
so
yes.
The drywall could have some asbestos. The insulation could have some asbestos. So that's very, very, very important. The other thing also would be check for mold. So if you are demolishing a bathroom that is old, that is also showing age, there's a very good chance that there is mold behind the walls. You don't want to just be a cowboy and just demolish that thing without the proper protection, because what you do, if you have asbestos in the content, you will spread the asbestos everywhere in the house.
When it's moved, and then you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's not what you want. And if you have mold, you just release the spores in the air. So there is... if you want planning, pre-demolition planning and to be done, know what you're dealing with. That's very important. The second thing is insulation in your exterior wall. More often than not, that's forgotten. Do update it. It's your last chance to ever get to it, right? And if it's 40 years old, you know, it's not good anymore. So do something about it. So that would be the second thing. And then plumbing, any rough plumbing. So the drainage, the feed pipes, the risers, anything that is plumbing, anything that is infrastructure. So electrical, right? Update your electrical, upgrade your pot lights, your, you know, if you need to add a light, a waterproof light in the shower. Especially that he's, in his case, heated floors, which is awesome.
It seems like a high-end reno.
Yeah, I mean, heated floors, you need to bring in your 220, so you need the walls to be open for that. So obviously, electrician is one of going to be in the first responders to the job. Extraction fans. So now it's time to look at your pipe. Is it insulated? Does it go well? Is it too close to the exit? Because technically, you need about 6 feet of pipe before it starts condensating and creating problems. A great time to look at that at that point.
Do you realize the wealth of information? We just got a text message from a listener saying it's incredible to realize how much information Walter has in his head. It's insane. So it has to be 6 feet before it starts.
So, I mean, this is the thing that, like, I don't want to talk about the obvious, right? Yeah. Like the design and everything, that's great.
It's
we have designers and you know, but I want to talk about the things that are not often thought about, and they are an afterthought, but it's too late to think about them.
Because you don't want to open up the walls again.
Full-blown in the reno. Exactly.
Yeah. We've got some calls coming in. We'll get to them in a few moments. 514-790-0800. That is the phone number to get in touch with Walter Assey, or the text line. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to The Home Improvement Show. Lots of calls coming in for Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Ronaldo, love that name, has been waiting in the line. And he's got another question about the French drains. The French drains, by the way, everyone loves to chat about them. They're usually problematic or people don't know what's going on. Ronaldo, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, take it away.
Yeah. Oh, great. Walter, I just had a question. Not really a question. Because I've experienced this flooding damage many years ago, and I had my house completely renovated in the basement to change all the piping. And I know what I noticed outside, too, we had to change some pipes because we had a blockage, like you talked about on your show today. And I noticed that the French drain used to, on my house, it was built in the 50s or the 60s, and it used to drain into the water, the main for the exit of the house, on the outside of the house. And I just want to bring this point up for people that are not aware of that, and just something that I would like them to have more awareness of that. Because what happens when we have like a big flood, not a big flood, but a big rainstorm in August, like 2024, this was one of the causes of why people had water coming into their house, because the sewer was filling up with water from the rain. So I don't know that's something you could speak more about.
Oh, 100%. And you know, there's a lot of common mistakes that happen in French drain installations. And we, as a matter of fact, we just did a job that the gentleman, the homeowner, installed this French drain about 4 years ago, and he had a major flood in his basement. Because the French drain connections was all done wrong. As a matter of fact, in some areas, the French drain was even higher than his footing, which doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, that's definitely when you don't see the French drain coming into a pit in your home, that's when you want to start asking questions. It's important that you are well aware of what you're getting and understanding how the system works. The house is it's a system, and if one thing gets done wrong, then it's just gonna be a domino effect of on everything else. Another example of, you know, how when you kind of do it in sections and you don't see the full picture of what could happen. I had a homeowner that called me this week for a situation that he was not understanding. He had a small pit in front of his garage. He did his driveway. He repaved it. And then they put a linear drain for him, which was awesome. But it was a landscaper that installed the linear drain. He's not a plumber. So he did not think of the extra volume that's going to come in through the drain, come in through the pit of his garage, right? Because that's where it's going to drain to.
What? Just so one question. Should it be a landscaper? Why was the landscaper?
I mean, I understand the fact that, you know, he's there and he's going to cut the trench and do it. That's fine. But I mean, again, I would have worked in conjunction with a plumber for sure.
Yes.
Or at least, you know. So in this case, what he did is you had this big rainfall. It went all through the linear drain pit. It goes into the garage pit. It's now too small for the volume. And now the garage overflows and floods.
Yeah, of course, because that's okay. Going into the house.
Yeah, so I mean, there was no thinking done. Okay, now I did this, but what's going to happen? The guy did his job. Technically, legally, you can't even go after him because he's, you know, he did the linear drain, right? He didn't do anything else. But there is that's why we say it's a system. You can't just, you know, not see the whole picture. And we have to understand about it. A lot of it is common sense as well. So that's definitely a great point, Ronaldo. And anybody that have a French drain, they don't have a pit, there are questions to be asked for sure.
And another thing I wanted to point out, because I know you were speaking about the scoping of the pipes to see if they have cast iron pipes and everything. And I noticed I had three scopes in the house after we had this blockage, and I didn't even see this French drain that was draining into you can't really see it. It's because it's on top of the pipe. Mm-hmm. It's outside, you know, and underneath your stairs, let's say it's in the front of the house. So the drain goes out underneath the ground, and you can't see with the scoping. And sometimes you have no choice but to open it up, and you discover, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So in the end, we had put in a sub pump, and the pump goes outside. And the pumper was, you know, thinking, oh, we're going to put it into the drain again. I go, and then the inspector said, no, you have to put it on the street. And I was kind of upset, like maybe 6 years ago. This when it happened, the big water rain flood, I had no water, and I was very happy that they did it the right way. So,
okay, Ronaldo, thank you so much for that call. No, that's great. Thank you for calling in. We have time for one last phone call now. We're going to try to fit it in before the end of the show. Cynthia has been waiting very patiently. She's got a question about her plumbing in her bathroom. Cynthia, take it away.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Morning.
First time calling in, listening for years. My toilet was starting to leak, didn't know where it was coming from, upstairs bathroom. We have a new wax ring and all that. The toilet was renovated, the bathroom was renovated 20 years ago. I went downstairs, I noticed over the washer and dryer the Ziploc was damp, so I took it off. And I do see wetness. I do have cast iron pipes. What I'm trying to wonder is there like a paste I could put on it, or an insert, or some kind, do I have to replace it? I'm not sure. I think it's coming from the cast iron itself, the leak. It's very very slow drip when I flush the toilet. However, haven't used the bathroom toilet upstairs all summer until last week. My daughter went to the bathroom and flushed, and there was no leak.
Okay.
Would it be from the cast iron? Because you were mentioning...
Yes.
My house was built in 1957. It's a brick bungalow.
So here's the trick with the when you have a crack or certain corrosion in a cast iron pipe, it's all gonna boil down to the amount of water or whatever is in the flush itself, because it doesn't always. It will not. It's funny because it does not. It will not always leak, but sometimes it will seep. If it is a crack in the cast iron pipe, or it is due to corrosion, or sometimes it's just a joint that is starting to leak, you won't necessarily see it all the time. But, you know, and most of the time it's actually drip, 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 so it's not enough to right away protrude through the drywall. So there is definitely telltale signs that you would have to open up that ceiling. Do not keep it closed, because you don't want... In any which case, that drywall is contaminated now. This is sewer water that actually is touching the paper backing of your drywall that is creating mold. So by you just keeping there, you're not saving money. You're actually going to spend a lot more money in the future decontaminating it if you don't take action right away. So best thing to do, you open up that area, which needs to be opened up anyways because it needs to dry up. You disinfect it. And now you watch... the drain behave, so you see, is it through the ring itself? Is it through the cast iron pipe? Is it through an elbow? And then you can zero in on the problem and you know, call the plumber and tell him, look, this is where it's leaking from. Please come and fix it, type of thing.
Cynthia, I hope that helps you out. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. One thing, Joanne, before for the previous caller about the French drain that I wanted to mention, I forgot. It's important when you install a new French drain to have a chimney inspection caps and at least two of them. So in case of blockage or cleaning, okay, because French drains also need to be cleaned. They say once a year, once every couple of years, right? So chimney caps is an easy way, number one, to access them, to clean them, and to inspect them as well.
I'm telling you, is there anything you don't know? And that, and by the way, this is just one aspect of Walter Essie's life. He's a very, very interesting man. Could have had many different lives.
My propaganda manager.
No, I'm telling you, Walter Essie may be a spy. We don't even know, because that's how many things he knows. All right, that does it for us on the Home Improvement Show. We'll be back next Saturday. Have a fantastic weekend.